In 2006, government launched a campaign to eliminate the sale of raw milk. In 2009, raw almonds were banned from the shelves of the nation's supermarkets. Today we ask, should we have the right to eat raw food?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 667th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there along the cliffs of Dover who are tuned in as we stream along on the radio page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Good morning.
Producer Carol Staff on the phone.
Carol Stafford. Hello.
I forgot the last syllable there. Folks, consider Michael Olson's second law of the food chain. The farther we go from the source of our food, the less control we have over what's in that food. If this law holds true, and it most certainly does, it follows that the best foods would be those harvested close and processed least. Raw foods. But wait, before you run out and buy some raw milk or raw almonds, you best slip into some camouflage clothes and wait until dark. In 2006, several large states, including Michigan, California, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, in cooperation with the federal government, launched a major campaign to restrict small family farm dairies from selling milk to their friends and neighbors. As a consequence, the daughters of Armand and Teddy Beckard of Springfield, Missouri, were arrested in the parking lot of a local shopping mall at gunpoint for selling a gallon or two of milk to their neighbors. Now, almonds have been added to the list of certified dangerous foods by the government, so, psst, hey buddy, want to buy a raw almond? This concentrated effort by government to control access to raw foods leads us to ask, why do some people prefer raw food? Why is government so intent on controlling or eliminating raw foods from our diet? Should we have the right to eat raw food, or should we eat only those foods processed and packaged in a government-certified safe factory? Here to help us look for an answer, we have journalist and author David Gumpert, latest book, The Raw Milk Revolution. David, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you very much, Michael.
David, you're in Amish country, but you just came out of Canada. You're on the road moving fast in the raw milk revolution. What was happening in Canada?
Well, in Canada, there was quite an amazing event. A Canadian judge in the province of Ontario ruled that in a case involving farmer Michael Schmidt, who had organized something called a cow share arrangement, whereby about 200 consumers were able to acquire raw milk and other raw dairy products by being part of this cow share organization. He had been under a prosecution by the province of Ontario for the last 16 years. Since 1994.
16 years?
Yes. They raided his farm three times. If you totaled up the potential fines for his supposed violations of the dairy laws, it could have been into the tens of millions of dollars. But and the government had gone after him, and he was put on trial a year ago. He represented himself. He was his own lawyer, and a judge in Ontario just on Thursday, about a year after the trial, read the decision. It took the judge 2.5 hours to read the decision, and the decision said that individuals can choose to organize themselves into private organizations to acquire raw milk, and that was a really, in the context of some of the things you just described, it was a huge decision. I mean, you wouldn't think so, and that you would think that we would have the right to acquire or buy raw dairy products, raw almonds, other kinds of raw foods, raw juices. But so this was a momentous court decision that at least in the context of a group of private individuals organizing themselves and in a under a structure whereby they own part of the cow, they can be outside the clutches of the regulators who want to keep us from having access to raw milk.
So the government spent 16 years and levied a potential tens of millions of dollars worth of fines on this Ontario farmer named Michael Schmidt, simply because he's selling raw milk. And what a terrible crime.
Yeah.
So now you're down in Amish country. How do the Amish see raw milk?
Well, the Amish are big consumers of raw milk, and they're big producers of raw milk and other raw dairy products. You know, this isn't just raw milk. In almost every state in the country, with the exception of California and a couple of others, it's actually illegal. It may be legal in some of these states to buy raw milk, but it's illegal to buy raw yogurt, raw milk kefir, raw milk butter, raw cream. Those are all considered highly dangerous and are illegal. Mm-hmm. So in the Amish are big producers of all these kinds of products. And in Pennsylvania, it's legal to sell raw milk with a permit from the farm. But it's not legal to sell these other products. And so many of the Amish have organized private cooperatives and buying groups to provide access to consumers for raw milk. And I'm speaking in just a little later this afternoon to one of those buying groups known as CARE. It has about 5,000 members, probably the largest buying group in the country for raw dairy and other kinds of raw products.
So if I were in Pennsylvania and I wanted to have a glass of raw milk, I'd have to essentially join a buying group, and I'd get all registered and signed up, and then I'd have to guess what, go to the farm to buy the milk?
That's pretty much it, although there are some exceptions. There are some farmers markets where it is legal for certain producers to sell raw milk. But by and large, yeah, that's the case. You have to go to the farm, or, excuse me, you have to go to the farm or go to the go to a farm store. I'm actually at a store, so I apologize for that.
That's okay. We're talking with David Gumpert, author of The Raw Milk Revolution. He's standing in a store in Pennsylvania, in Amish country. And we should note, of course, that it's sometimes really hard to find a way to communicate out of Amish country because they are not very big on the cell phone infrastructure. And even telephones are hard to find sometimes. So we have to catch as catch can. And today we've caught David in a store getting ready to give a presentation to a buying group in Amish country. So how many buying groups are there spread out around the country, do you know?
I don't know exactly, but there are buying groups and cooperatives springing up all over the country. I know some of the Amish farmers supply raw food, so they don't. It doesn't necessarily include raw milk because you're not supposed to ship raw milk across state lines. But
right.
They provide fermented products and grass-fed beef and pasture chicken to cooperatives in places like from California to Florida and Massachusetts. So they're all over the place, and they're obvious that they aren't the only suppliers. There are cooperatives and buying groups that have sprung up all over the country because more and more consumers want access to these foods.
So here in California, for example, or in Florida or wherever, I could join a buying co-op and actually be able to buy unprocessed foods from the Amish directly.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
So now, in California, I think you may be familiar with this. In California, you actually can buy raw dairy products
right.
at retail.
Right. And we'll be talking about organic pastures and Mark McAfee here in a little bit. Folks, this is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. Today we're talking about raw foods. And we're asking some very interesting questions, like why do some people prefer raw foods? And that'll be the question we get to with David Gumpert when we get back from this break. Also, why is the government so intent on controlling or eliminating raw foods from our diet? And, boy, they're actually arresting people at gunpoint for selling raw milk to their friends and neighbors. And that just seems extraordinary to me. So we'll ask why the government is so intent on this kind of police action. And finally, should we have the right to eat raw food, or should we eat only those foods processed and packaged in a government-certified safe factory? We, of course, invite you to participate in the program today. Just pick up your phone and join us. We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is the Food Chain, Michael Olson, with David Gumpert, author of The Raw Milk Revolution, right back. Stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Food Chain. Today we're talking about raw food and the raw milk revolution with David Gumpert, who is the author of The Raw Milk Revolution. David is in Amish country today, getting ready to address a group of people who have organized themselves to be able to buy raw food, raw milk, from the Amish community. What are you going to tell this group, David?
Well, I'm going to tell them about some of the things that have been happening over the last 5 years with regard to raw milk. I'm going to be talking about the government's crackdown on farmers who dare to sell raw milk and raw dairy products. Okay. I'll be recounting a number of the cases that I go through in the book. I go through cases involving farmers in Michigan, California, Pennsylvania, New York. And they each take a kind of a slightly different form, but they're all part of an overall campaign by the government to stamp out raw milk.
Well, before we go there, let's talk about the people that are involved in this buying group. And why is it that some people like raw foods, like raw milk, raw juices, raw almonds? What is it about raw foods that seems to attract such attention and such devotion from people?
I think there are a couple of things. I mean, you said a lot of it really well at the beginning, that the closer you are to the source of food, the better the food oftentimes. And I think that, you know, there's been a prevailing attitude in this country that cheap food is the best food, and so food is food is food, and it really doesn't matter whether your food is locally grown or what kind of whether you have organic or non-organic, whether it's nutritionally dense or not nutritionally dense. Those kinds of things are considered to be issues that only kind of weirdos and wackos are worried about. But it's become those kinds of issues have become much more mainstream. People are realizing that there's been an explosion in chronic illness, diseases like diabetes and asthma and Crohn's are just skyrocketing, and that food may play a role, and processed food in particular may play a role leading to these conditions. So there's just a growing amount of interest among consumers in obtaining food that is grown, locally grown, and is nutritionally dense.
You know, I had a conversation with a farmer yesterday who had been to the Acres USA conference in the Midwest, and he said something really strange is happening. He said all of the community-supported agriculture farms at both conferences have completely filled up with buyers. And so it's not just the people who you're talking with today. It appears to be that this consciousness is expanding throughout the country, and people are looking for local foods. But is there anything in raw foods that isn't in pasteurized foods? Let's take milk in specific. Has there ever been any double-blind studies comparing the health impacts of raw dairy to pasteurized dairy?
The closest thing that I'm aware of is a couple of studies out of Europe that looked at, I think, about 15,000 consumers, many of whom were farm children drinking unpasteurized milk, uh-huh. and others were city children. And what they found was that the children who were consuming the unpasteurized milk had lower rates of asthma and lower incidence of allergies than the children who were drinking the pasteurized milk, and they don't know. They say that they don't know exactly why, but they suspect that it has something to do with the pasteurization process, which is really a heat treating process, mm-hmm. That it kills off certain good bacteria, certain beneficial bacteria and enzymes that help build up our immune systems.
And also there seems to be a relationship between lactose intolerance and pasteurized and raw dairy, is there not?
Yes. Yes. Lactose intolerance affects something on the order of 30 to 50 million Americans, which is really pretty amazing. And that means that they really can't consume dairy products without a lot of discomfort, stomach upset. And so...
it should be noted, folks, that we have David, who has probably sequestered himself in the back room of a store in Amish country. It's hard to find seltzer.
I thought I was in the quiet area of the store, but anyway, there have been a lot of anecdotal examples of mm-hmm. individuals consuming raw milk who are lactose intolerant and don't have any problem with lactose intolerance. And in the process of researching my book, I found a study done in Michigan, a small-scale study that was done of members of a cooperative there, and found that something on the order of 80% of those who had been diagnosed as lactose intolerant were able to consume raw milk without any kind of problem.
Wow, so if you are lactose intolerant, you might try raw milk and see what happens. And somebody yesterday told me again that in Italy, you can get raw milk out of, you know, dispensing machines like Coca-Cola. Is that true? Have you ever heard that?
Yes. Yes, there are I think in certain, Latvia and I think even Italy, there are the equivalent of raw milk vending machines, uh-huh. and automatic dispensers where consumers can just buy unpasteurized milk. And I think there's some kind of conference coming up here on raw milk in Wisconsin in April. I don't know, have the exact details. I think they're still being worked out. But they're going to have someone at that conference who operates one of these dispensers in Europe.
Is there any indication that people are dying like flies because they're, you know, buying raw milk out of dispensing machines as they do Coca-Cola here in the United States?
No reports that I'm aware of.
Huh.
It's funny. Oh, the whole issue of illness is an interesting one. And I mean there are something on the estimated 1 to 2 million Americans drinking raw milk regularly, and they're doing it every day, and you don't hear about people dropping dead.
No. So and I guess that's really where we want to go next. It appears, though, that there are a lot of people who really do have taken a liking to raw milk for one reason or another. And I guess I would be one of them. I have taken a liking to raw milk. I was essentially raised on raw milk, in that I was raised on my grandparents' farm, and that's what we had. We milked the cows, and we hauled the buckets of milk across the barnyard, and we dumped them in a separator and separated the cream from the milk, and that's what we pretty much lived on. And I can't ever recall being sick or anything from that milk. And of course, you got away from that raw whole milk when you moved into the city, and in the city you have pasteurized milk. But some time ago, I did a radio show with Ronnie, with Mark McAfee, and the folks around here they manufacture the raw milk and Organic Pastures Dairy in Claravelle here in the area, and I've taken a liking to their milk, and it's a whole different kind of. It's almost like it's so incredibly rich. You can drink it from a shot glass, and you get a whole meal in a tiny little glass of milk. And I guess I'm one of those people. So when we get back, I'd like to figure out, why do some people fear raw milk in the way they do? What is behind this incredible fear and the need for the government to control or eliminate raw milk? Got any ideas? Love to hear them. Pick up your phone and join us. We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. I am Michael Olson. This is the Food Chain Radio program. We're talking with David Gumpert, author of The Raw Milk Revolution, and you. Right back. In 2006, government launched a campaign to eliminate the sale of raw milk. In 2009, raw almonds were banned from the shelves of the nation's supermarket. What's next? Today we ask, should we have the right to eat raw food? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael Olson here. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. We're talking about the raw milk revolution with the author of same, David Gumpert. David has been up in Canada following the story of Michael Schmidt, who is operating a 150-cow raw milk co-op, and the government up there spent 16 years and attempted to find him in the tens of millions of dollars for the act of selling raw milk to his friends and neighbors. And David made it through, or Michael Schmidt made it through. He was found not guilty. And David is now down in Amish country talking with a co-op, a group of people who've gathered together to buy raw food from the Amish community. And we're talking about why on earth we should be able to buy raw foods. What is the problem with this whole notion of buying foods that have not been processed, that have been harvested close and processed least? What is the problem here? What is it about raw foods that makes people so nervous, David?
Well, that's an excellent question, and it's a kind of a complicated question, because historically there have been problems with raw milk. And I spend a lot of time in my book, The Raw Milk Revolution, going through the history of pasteurization and why it came into being. Essentially what happened in the late 1800s and early 1900s, there was a lot of illness that was attributed to unpasteurized milk. And it seems that what was happening was huge numbers of people moving into the cities as part of the Industrial Revolution, and cows kind of followed the people, and there were farming operations set up within cities, almost like the early versions of feedlots.
Mm-hmm.
And these were highly unsanitary operations.
As I understood it, David, they were set up to eat the processed mash grains from distilleries.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the cow, not only was it unsanitary, but the cows were malnourished because of what they were being fed. And so you had a situation where the milk really was of a very poor quality and often contained pathogens, and people did get sick. We had problems at the same time with the water supply. I mean, we didn't have sewage systems in the 1800s, so and early 1900s, and so people may have been getting sick from that as well. But as soon as pasteurization began to be instituted in a number of large cities like Chicago and Boston and Philadelphia, and the illness rates declined significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the illnesses then were different as well. They were really serious illnesses like typhoid and tuberculosis. So the government kind of decided, hey, pasteurization has solved this problem. And they continue to hold to that view today. They say, you know, we solved that problem in the early 1900s with pasteurization. We don't want to go there again. Even though the situation has changed a lot, I mean, the cows that are produced raw milk today are on farms where they're usually grass fed.
Right.
Pasteurization is obviously
they're probably the most spoiled cows in the world when it gets right down to it now, aren't they?
They're well taken care of, and the disease. But I think it's important to understand that you can get sick from raw milk. You can also get sick from pasteurized milk, and when I say sick, you can get illnesses from pathogens like E. coli 0157H7 mm-hmm. and Salmonella and a few others like of that ilk. And those are the kinds of bacteria that are getting people sick from raw meat, from these feedlots, sometimes even from peanut butter and from pistachios and the peppers and so on and so forth. It seems that the risk of illness, or let me just say that the risk of illness from all dairy products is very low, and that includes raw milk.
Mm-hmm.
But if you compare raw milk to pasteurized milk, the risk seems to be a bit higher. And so I think it's important for people to understand that just because milk is unpasteurized and comes from cows fed on pasture doesn't mean it's impossible to get sick.
Right.
It is possible to get sick, but it's not real likely, so long as the farmers practice good sanitation and other kinds of proper cooling and so forth.
Sure. And thus, it's to my way of thinking, it's very important to know from whom, you know, you're getting your products as well. You know, your proximity to the farmer becomes very important when you're buying anything that's unprocessed and raw.
Exactly.
So some of the objections that were pointed up in emails to me, of course, was one, unpasteurized milk was a source of tuberculosis. Is that what you were talking about in the early stages of the...
In the late 1800s, early 1900s, yeah, tuberculosis, typhoid, those kinds mm-hmm. of diseases were spread by raw milk, bad water, other
sure.
kinds of bad...
Just bad sanitation all the way around. What
yes.
about brucellosis?
Brucellosis was also more common or in those early days.
Mm-hmm.
It's much less. It's very rare today. I mean, if you're going to get sick from raw milk or any other food, it's very unlikely you're going to get brucellosis.
Okay, what?
I have very, very occasional cases, but just doesn't seem. It's not. It's nothing like it was then.
Why did they pass a law against raw almonds?
It's one of these situations. You know, we live in a kind of a culture that's become very fear-oriented. So there were apparently, I don't know exactly when, but I think in around 2000, something like three or four people became mildly ill from, I believe it was salmonella, that they seem to have gotten from almonds that may have fallen from a tree and that's been on the ground and may have been contaminated. So the almond growers became very nervous because that they'd be sued over if anyone ever did get sick, and they felt they could resolve the problem with pasteurization. In other words, guarantee that no one would ever get anything. And so they got together and told the government that they kind of took it upon themselves to initiate this pasteurization process. In the end, we all have pasteurized almonds now. Chances are they're probably somewhat less nutritious because some of the nutrients get destroyed in the heating process.
Which, of course, is exactly what happens with pasteurized milk.
Exactly.
Okay, so why is the government so intent on controlling or eliminating raw foods, including raw milk? What is behind, I guess we're going to have to pick this up when we get back, but here we have the government that's going into people's homes armed, with pointing guns at people and arresting them for selling raw milk to each other. It just doesn't make any sense to me, but who am I? I just wonder. I guess I'm a curious person, and I wonder what is behind this compelling need to arrest people for selling raw milk to each other, for farmers to sell food to their neighbors, to juices and eggs and meat and milk. And what is compelling the government to be so incredibly restrictive here? Who is behind this? Why is the government this way? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Are they looking to protect us? Is that what you think? Right back. Well, this from my good friend Joel Salatin in his foreword to The Raw Milk Revolution by David Gumpert. Isn't it curious that at this juncture in our culture's evolution, we collectively believe Twinkies, Lucky Charms, and Coca-Cola are safe foods, but compost-grown tomatoes and raw milk are not? With legislation moving through Congress demanding that all agricultural practices be, quote, science-based, unquote, I believe our food system is at wounded knee. I do believe that is not, that is an overstatement. So, but that's pretty curious. David Gumpert, why is the government so intent on controlling or eliminating raw foods? Are they out to protect us, or are they out to restrict competition?
Well, we unfortunately can't know absolutely for sure what's going through their minds. They make the case very emotionally sometimes that they really are concerned about protecting us, and I believe that individual regulators really do want to keep people safe. Their idea of what constitutes a risk, though, and yours and my idea of what constitutes risk are often different. Mm-hmm. And so they focus exclusively on the risk from pathogens, and that people might get sick from pathogens, and don't refuse to look at the idea that people might become ill. Large numbers of people may become ill over a long period of time from other kinds of illnesses, chronic illnesses, that from processed foods. So
drinking too much Coca-Cola.
There is an issue in the competition. I think when you think about it, if the more milk that's sold unpasteurized, the less there is for the processors to do. I mean, there really isn't a big role for milk processors in the whole cycle of selling unpasteurized milk.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to speak with Kathleen Merrigan, who is a new Deputy Undersecretary of Agriculture at USDA. She's visiting a farm conference, and I was asking her questions for the local news here at the radio station. But one of the questions I asked her was, you know, given the number of food safety legislation going through Congress, the intent of which is to put the Food and Drug Administration in charge of the entire food chain from seed to finished product, and all the way, you know, from farmer to consumer, to have the government in charge of the entire food chain. I asked her how this legislation is going to impact the ability of small farmers, family farmers, to do business. And she, of course, hemmed and hawed a little bit, but she said in effect that no one gets a pass when it comes to safe food, which to me was saying that the government is going to be in charge of ensuring that all food is going to be safe. If such is the case, the only safe food, I guess, will be those foods that have been sterilized and to oblivion and packaged and sealed in some kind of government-approved factory. Am I seeing things wrong there?
I think that's where they would like to be headed. They would like to be headed toward more irradiation and use of cloning and as you say, pasteurization. I mean, the way they're doing it with the food safety legislation that's now in Congress and very close to passing. It's passed the House and it's passed a committee. It's about it'll come up for a vote in the Senate possibly in the next few weeks. The big thing, a couple of the big things that it does is it forces all food producers to have what are known as HACCP plans, and these are very detailed hazard control plans that can cost tens of thousands of dollars to have to produce, and they have to, because they have to meet FDA approval. A lot of smaller producers that sell locally won't be able to comply, and the fear is that they'll be driven out of business. But there's something
but
else.
Is that the intent? I guess that's what I'm asking here. They say
they're obsessed with protection. They say that they don't want people to be afraid of these of these recalled foods. But the reality is most of these are nearly all of these. Problems we've had with recalls of peanut butter and ground beef and so forth have come from big companies. You don't find many examples of small companies having produced food that poisons people. So, you have to wonder.
And you do wonder. That's what we're doing. We're wondering. Let's ask Rolf what he thinks. Rolf, welcome to the food chain.
Good morning. Here's a biodynamic farmer. Wanted to say, we appreciate taking your call. I think this is well addressed. The essence, I believe, behind all this is people want risk-free lives, and that in itself is absurd. And it is just way beyond the food thing. It's for the government to protect people to live these padded, I call them padded lives. And it certainly is. I don't think it's in the majority of the people, and certainly the elections are reflecting that. I don't mean to be political here, but we as farmers, we need to. We are working on getting our own voice out there and clarifying to people, bringing some balance into this. Is what I call this absurdity of establishing risk-free situations. Because even if you compare what's going on in Switzerland and Germany, a lot of family there. They always look at the Germans and the Swiss being these knowledgeable cultures.
Rolf, can you hang on? Yeah, we're going to have to take a quick break. I'll pick you up when we come back. Yep. Folks, this is The Food Chain, Michael Lolson. We're talking with David Gumpert, author of The Raw Milk Revolution from Chelsea Green Publishers. Do stay tuned right back. Well, what do you think out there? Should we have the right to eat raw foods produced and grown on our neighbor's farm, or should we be allowed only foods that have been processed and packaged in government-certified safe factories? That seems to be where we're going in this world, or I might be missing something. At least that kind of is the theme of the raw milk revolution, as outlined by in David Gumpert's book from Chelsea Green, and it seems to be what Rolf is talking about. Rolf is a biodynamic farmer. Rolf, what do you think? Should we be allowed to eat your food? You know, when you talk about being a biologically intense farmer, I guess you're part of the problem here. You're growing food in real life.
Yep.
And that's what seems to be what they seem to be so afraid of is life.
Well, firstly, may I say a few things quickly?
Yep.
One of them is, I grew up on raw milk on the French-German borders, and everybody else did. We're all alive. We never had any disease. It's okay. There's a substantial market of raw milk in Switzerland, Germany, Austria. Certainly by no means regulated the way our government is intruding. And there are no diseases. Anybody can check that out. The situation is that there is clearly this obsessive thing about living risk-free lives, as I mentioned. And my question to both of you is, what is the do you have a view as to what we need to do to let the larger population know? Most of them are reasonable people, except for a fringe that's really excessively paranoid. That's my word for it. So I defer to you on that.
Well, that's a great question. Well, thank you so much for the call. Let's pass that one to David. David, I guess that's the question I want to ask you as well. What do I tell my father-in-law when he raises the objection to this raw milk? He says it's not safe. And what do we say to people?
Well, that's an interesting question. I guess a good way to begin to answer that question is to look at why the government began cracking down on farmers. And what happened in 2005 and 2006, the government had for years been putting out warnings through the Centers for Disease Control and the Food and Drug Administration, telling people it's dangerous to drink raw milk. And the more they put out those warnings, the more the demand for raw milk grew. And in 2005, 2006, the government decided to switch its tactics. They said, you know, we can't scare people away from raw milk, so what we'll do is we'll go after the supply. And they began going after farmers. And so I guess an answer to the question, basically the more they try to fearmonger, at least about food, the bigger market they're creating.
It was like making marijuana illegal.
Yeah.
If you want people to drink raw milk, tell them they can't drink raw milk.
Yeah, well, but it's also a sign of just how distrustful people are. I agree, there is a group that you know, demands that the government protect them at every step of the way. But people are growing tired of all that, of all the fear mongering over, you know, H1N1 and all the vaccinations and all the things that we're supposed to be afraid of.
Well, David Gumbert, author of The Raw Milk Revolution from Chelsea Green, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for taking some time out. We know you're having a very busy day there in Amish country, and give those Amish people a big thumbs up from all of us out here in the world who appreciate the notion that somebody is growing real food and selling it. We do appreciate their efforts. Thank you all for tuning in.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.